Don't you love 1998? Wasn't that great? Oh, they're so earnest. I was born to surf the web. Okay, interesting. I'm Erin. Peace, friends. I have the pleasure of closing out our two-week series on the TechWise family. This is based on a book by Andy Crouch, and I think there are... No, you were too late. All the copies in our micro bookstore are gone, but you can get one at the library. I will return this book today so you can check it out. Also, you can check it out from Amazon or whatever. I highly recommend this book for everyday steps to put technology back in its proper place. And that video, that Roland video, it reminds me of the creation story. Because whenever you start to talk about, like, what were you made for? What's in your DNA? We should probably go back and talk about that actual moment when you were made, and is that, in fact, true? So you'll remember, creation story starts in the very first page of the Bible. This is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And it was good. And then, you know, the next day, God's like separating this, he makes the sky from the waters, and that was pretty good too. And then, you know, he's going to separate the water from the land, and that was good, so we're going to keep going. And then after that, there are like fish and birds, and that was really, really awesome. Who loves an orca whale? Right here. So, and then we're going to keep going. We're going to make the animals and the plants and the dogs and the polar bears and the newts and like all those things. All those things had to come first. And then after all those things are done, at the end of the sixth day, God's like, now we're ready for humans. I've gotten everything ready for humans. And he creates humans. And it was good. And whether this is a story about like six literal days or, you know, eons, it doesn't matter as much as this narrative that's told here. This story that shows that God put a lot of thought into creating the space where we were living. He waited to create us until he knew this was all perfect. We had everything we needed to thrive. And yeah, someday we would go on and we would create Wi-Fi from all of these things. But that came later, right? I'm not sure we were created to surf the web. That wasn't part of the plan. But I digress. I'm wondering if, you know, we do this thing up, this exercise in Kids Creek upstairs where we tell the Bible story and then we open it up for the kids to just say, like, I wonder, you know, what do you wonder about this Bible story? And it's something that I love to do myself. And after I hear this creation story and, you know, you think about paradise and everything that's in it, I wonder why God waited so long for us. Like, couldn't we have jumped in and helped? We love to do that, right? There's a lot of intention there in setting up that space. Who here has ever brought like a baby or a new dog home? Ever done that? Yes, dogs are just like babies, I assure you. When Dave and I first got married, we decided we would start off by practicing with a puppy before we had children. This is Mr. Big. Oh, okay, this is him, like 6 months old. He was adorable. He's about this big. He's still this big. So obviously he's Mr. Big. But we realized pretty quickly after bringing him home that we did not set up the space well enough for a puppy. Okay, we had the fence in the backyard, good on that. We had like newspaper back by the back door, and like that was good. But puppies, like, they teeth, which I kind of forgot about that. So this adorable dog in our home that was 100 years old with the original woodwork went up to the corner of the baseboards and just gnawed the heck out of those baseboards. What? Are you kidding me? We thought he was like an idiot. Like, what are you doing? We have given you chew toys. So we had realized really quickly we had to adapt the space for him so that he would make better choices. Yeah? So he could choose something differently. Where's Jeremy? That's a great pun. Heyo, choose something different. And as we were doing this, we were trying to get his attention away from what we didn't want him to choose. That was a nudge we put in place when we decided to toss him some chew toys instead. That was intentional. But now I'm wondering, whenever you brought home your first cell phone, remember your first little cell phone, baby, and you brought that home, did you put as much thought into that as you did bringing home a baby or a dog or, you know, that God put into creating the universe? I didn't. I remember walking in and being like, look at this, you guys, look, I got a phone. And it was one of those track phones with, like, you buy the minutes. And so you would talk until, like, bye, bye, I love you, bye. Oh, it's gone. It's gone. Okay. But really, whenever technology comes to our home, we're just, like, more than welcome to, like, open our arms. Come on in, come on in. Unless it was something monumental, like, I remember when Skype came in. Oh, yeah. Look at this. Don't be jealous of my cellular telephone. Who had that phone, by the way? Don't be shy, you can admit it. Who still has that phone, by the way? Okay. But when Skype came in, there's my middle child Skyping with grandma, because grandma at the time lived about 10 hours away. And like, we found out when we had Skype, we don't need a landline. I mean, who in here still has a landline phone? Yeah, that's right. Rock it out, because that's pretty retro. That's retro. We got rid of the landline phone at this moment because we realized technology had answered a problem that we had, and it was wonderful. But in other ways, technology has sort of like crept into every crevice of our lives. So if you walk into my house right now, you're gonna see like there's somebody's cell phone on the kitchen table, and there's somebody's tablet on the dining room, or like on the table somewhere too. And then if you walk in the living room, there's like a dead Kindle over there on the couch. Nobody can find the cord for it. It's probably somewhere else. And then there's my computer, and it's also dead. And which one of you jokers ruined my battery? And like, it's everywhere you look. There's reminders that we have tech everywhere. And I didn't do that intentionally. It was not my intention to put tech everywhere in my house. It's even in the bathroom sometimes. You guys, like, that's weird, right? That's weird. No, it's not weird at all, somebody says. This is why we don't use one another's cell phones. Okay. The thing is, we didn't put a lot of thought into that, okay? And the problem with that is that the technology has surpassed anyone's capacity to have enough time to even develop wisdom to learn how to handle it. So while it's very, very good, I love technology, you will get this phone out of my dead hands, okay? I'm not giving it up. I'm not going back to the landline. I'm sorry. But we do want to put some boundaries in place to be as intentional as our Creator, who thought about our spaces. I mean, if you think about it, if General Motors had kept up with the technology, we would all be driving $25 cars that get 100 or get 1,000 miles a gallon. Yeah. We don't have those, do we? It just comes so fast. So fast. All of a sudden, it's here. And one thing I love about this book, The TechWise Family, is before we get into like the 10 TechWise commitments or conversation starters, or whatever you want to call them, before we get that far, there are three guiding points for thinking about TechWise and how you can be TechWise. And one of those, Tom talked about last week, Pastor Tom talked about choosing character. So instead of just choosing what he calls easy everywhere, it's that like, oh, look, here's my phone, I think I'll be on it. It's thinking intentionally about how I will choose character. I'll develop character either in myself or in my kids. And the second point was using time wisely. So I'm not just going to be waiting in line at the stoplight, you know, scrolling Facebook, but I'm going to actually think about how I'm using my time on tech. But we've talked a lot about time lately. We just finished a series called Divine Direction. We talked a lot about, you know, making sure you have enough time in your day to think about, you know, to listen to God and to be with people who matter and to start new things and then to stop those other things that you want to stop doing. So I'm really just going to focus on that third today, the shaping space. So how do your physical spaces where you live, in your homes or where you work, any place that you spend a lot of your time, how are those places either setting you up for failure for this TechWise life, or how do they actually provide like nudges toward making good TechWise decisions? So in a second, when I play the video of the 10 TechWise commitments or conversation starters, I want you to think about those in terms of your actual spaces and the things that are in them. Let's watch.
We develop wisdom and courage together as a family.
We want to create more than we consume.
So we fill the center of our home with things that reward skill and active engagement.
We are designed for a rhythm of work and rest.
So 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, and 1 week a year, we turn off our devices and worship.
We did a feast.
Pray!
And rest.
Together.
Together for all.
In the morning, we wake up before our devices do.
And they go to bed before we do.
For no screens before double digits at school and at home.
We use our screens with a purpose, and we use them together instead of aimlessly and alone.
Car time is conversation time.
Spouses have
one another's passwords.
Parents have total access to children's devices.
We learn to sing together rather than letting recorded and amplified music take over our lives and worship.
We show up in person for the big events of life. We learn how to be human by being fully present at our moments of greatest vulnerability. We hope to die in one another's arms.
We hope to die in one another's arms. That's my oldest child. She's got a future in theater or something. I love that video. Some of those choices that they're talking about are really radical, right? Like no screens before double digits? I failed that one already. Some of those are really radical, and yet it's in developing skills or habits or patterns of life like that where we develop wisdom and courage in our kids and in ourselves. And when we're thinking about wisdom, we turn to this book in the Bible that collects all these wise sayings, and it's called the Book of Proverbs. And in there, they talk about home and how it's created. Home is this place where the very best of life happens. Home is a place where it's built on a foundation of wisdom and understanding. So that's what we're going for today, right? We're going to be tech wise. And where there's knowledge, where we're aware of this, the rooms are furnished with valuable, beautiful things. Valuable and beautiful things. And before you're in the back like, oh, I'll show you valuable. I got this TV, man. Cost me a pretty penny. That's not really the kind of valuable they're talking about here, as you might suspect. Other translations use words like rare or precious or things that are irreplaceable. Like these are things that you hold so much value in that they're really invaluable. And this is also in those spaces, like these should be the things when I walk into your home. If you tell me what's most valuable, I should see those things in your spaces, right? These are people, these are pets, these are hobbies, these are, you know, for me, I mean children and all that stuff. And then books, it would be books. Those things are very valuable to me, but what is very valuable and beautiful to you? What's valuable and beautiful to you? If I walked in your home, would I say, oh, the valuable and beautiful thing is this beautiful TV. They must spend a lot of their time here. Or maybe this dusty rack of CDs that no one's really listened to from the 90s, because many people don't listen to CDs now. What is it that's valuable and beautiful to you? And I'm not just going to ask that question like philosophically. There's a sheet in your program. It looks like this. It's where you can take notes of inspiration. But right now, there's a couple lines on here, and I would like you, in just 30, 45 seconds, literally jot down the things that are in the space in your house where you spend the most time. Okay? Make a list of the objects and the technology and the things you would find in that room where you spend the most time. I swear I just heard somebody say toilet paper. Who said that? We don't know. Okay, maybe not. Okay, good. So take a look at that list, okay? What are the things that reward skill or the things that are valuable and beautiful to you? Like, circle those things. Those are important. Those are like the most important things in that space. And what maybe distracts from those beautiful, valuable things? Like, maybe what's the blinking screen, or what's that cell phone in your hand, maybe? Cross that thing. Underline that thing. What are those things that are valuable and beautiful to you? And how do they provide nudges? So, for instance, who had one of these bag phones? What? Right? Okay, so let me get into this Velcro here. Okay? Ah! This very important car phone. Remember these? Yup. They plugged into your cigarette lighter in your car. Okay? Beep, beep, boop, boop. Like, and then you knew if somebody called you on this, don't answer, because it's just going to sound like in it. Yeah, it was maybe before its time. Look at this. Tech before its time, but this provided a nudge for people, because you're not taking it outside your car very far, right? It puts a limit on where and when you can use it. Or y'all know this one, right? Oh no, look at this relic, right? My kids found this in my in-laws' basement, and they're like, oh my gosh, what is this? And I was like, it's a telephone. And they were like, no it's not. Like, this thing, and I think, no, not on this one. This one, you know, you set on your desk because you were very important and you had a desk. Or maybe, like, in my family, you had it hanging on the kitchen wall. And so this provided a nudge because, hold on, my kids have broken the cord. Sarah, hold on to that, right? So this is my nudge. Like, this is my radius. If I'm going to be on the phone, I'm only getting this far. Someone in the first service said, yeah, that's why you buy a longer cord, so you could hide in the closet. But we didn't do that. We didn't have that back in the day, back in my day. We had that nudge. And then I remember somewhere like 1998-ish, we got our first computer. Remember how big and heavy those things were? And so, like, we put that in another room, and we called that the computer room. And it had its own desk, right? All those desks are now, like, at Goodwill because we don't need them anymore. But in that moment, like, if you want to be on the computer, you're going to go to a certain place, and you're going to sit in a chair, and you're going to be on the computer. And then, if you wanted to go, like, on the couch, and you're like, man, I wish I could check my email. Nobody ever did that, but I wish I could. You could never unplug it from the wall and, like, pick up this heavy 800-pound thing and, like, cuddle under a blanket with it. You weren't doing that. And that was a nudge. We said, the computer is going to be over here, right where your brothers can walk by at any time and see what you're looking at. It's going to be over here, and then life happens over here. My kids have no idea about those nudges. And I'm wondering then, if some of those old nudges that, like, we are free from the chains of a corded phone, look at us, we are free, like, if some of those nudges shouldn't inform how we think about tech in our homes now, though, do they have a place? How do your devices shape how you interact with your space? I think a key thing we lost when we developed the freedom to, like, bring our tech anywhere was the ability to choose character by making it part of the furniture. By thinking intentionally about how you set up the room so your technology has bounds. And it's not that technology is bad. Like, dude, I lose my phone 78 times a day. So Dave bought me this thing that goes on the back of my phone, and when I say, Dave, I don't know where my phone is, he pushes a button and it, like, tells him where my phone is. I know. It has changed our marriage. It's so good. It is so good. And the thing is, though, there's a difference between helping someone with a task like that and sitting on the couch for like 5 minutes, which becomes like 5 football minutes to like scroll through Facebook. There's a difference between how technology works in that space. And so there's also in your program one of these bookmarks. A bookmark is a piece of paper that you used to put in books that had pages in them, maybe. This is old school tech right here. But there's these bookmarks with all these 10 commitments on them. And as we look through these, and don't get nervous, I'm not gonna go through all 10 of these today. But as we look through these 10, I want you to think about the nudges in your spaces that make these more difficult. And then the nudges in your spaces that make these easier to accomplish. So let's look at a couple today. Let's go through just two and think about how our spaces help us out or maybe hinder us. And one of those, let's look at number two. We're places we want to create more than we consume. So when we're on Facebook, we're consuming just mindless content. Consuming. We want to create more than we consume. So we're going to fill the center of our home with things that reward skill and active engagement. So maybe some of those nudges, as you walk into a place or a space, those nudges might be books, maybe it's games, maybe it's a deck of cards and a place for you guys to play euchre. Maybe, who grin, like, grow? I'm not playing euchre. That was for all y'all out there. But maybe it's in those spaces, it's places where you can also just relax without having anything beeping or dinging at you. Maybe it's things like, you know, you're knitting or a pile of books. I'm also going to bring up books 100% of the time. Maybe it's things like that. To create more than we consume, we have to put things in our spaces that make that the easier choice. That makes sense? Confession, this is really hard for our family, but we're getting better at it. Think about your main living space. I'm going to think about mine out loud a little bit. So like you walk into the living room, this is where we all end up, me and Dave, and we have 3 kids and the dog, of course. And as you walk into the space, you know, over here we got a bookshelf with like games and paper and scissors and glue and everything necessary for the rest of the room to look like the shelf threw up. That's important to us. And then there's like the front door. And then over here we've got a couple chairs because we love having people over. And it's fun to like, you know, be cozy while you do that. And then over here we've got these 2 huge bookshelves with, you know, books for adults on top and then books for kids on the bottom. And then in the middle of that is my desk where I work. I'm a writer, so I have a computer there. And that's also become the spot where like when the kids have to turn in their devices, it all lands there. So this is my pile of Kindles, my old computer, my old iPad or pod. What do we call those things? Thinks. That thing is there. And then over here, you know, we've got like the couch. And then right in front of the couch, we've got a puzzle out because puzzles forever, y'all. Okay? And all of these things are nudges that I put in place. So when my kids walk in the room, it's less likely that they're going to have the Kindle out. For one thing, because it's been dead a month, and if you can find that cord, could you just give it to me? Like, you have it, right? I've looked everywhere. I can't find it. It's also a place where it's often the most messy, and I have to remind myself, this is it, that we're doing it right, because this is the central nudge of the TechWise life, is to make the place where you spend the most time the place where easy everywhere is hardest to find. Yeah. So the simple nudge of putting like comfy chairs, having a stack of blankets because Dave won't let us turn the heat on over 60 degrees. It's radical. It's radical. You'll notice like in that space there's no TV. That was a change we made. We still have a TV, we just put it in the basement. And since we've lived there like 3 years, we've had like 2 mice. And I have a theory that if you find 1 mice, there are 15 more living somewhere you don't know about. Okay? It's someone in between services told me that was irrational. It's not irrational. It's science. So anyway, I don't like to go down there very much unless, like, I have many people with me and we're making a lot of noise and I'm feeling really safe. So it's less likely I'm going to go down there and binge watch something, although I will, but not often. I'm not nudged to do that. And that brings me to the next point, too, number three. We're designed for a rhythm of rest and work. Remember in the beginning, like the literal beginning, the one I started with, but also like in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he did like the sky and the water and the land and the fish and the birds and the animals and the dogs and then the people. That was the end of day six. And then the next day, what did God do? He rested. Do you have a rhythm like that? Like in your day or in your week? And it's good to like work and create and be active, and that's awesome. And then we are people whose God commands us to rest, just like God did. How's that going? Because if you ask us, it's a little bit difficult to rest when you have something in your pocket that's like vibrating or there's something lighting up constantly trying to get your attention. How's that rest possible in those places? If you see on the bookmark, there's another sentence on there that says, so 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, 1 week a year, we're going to turn off our devices so that we can work, worship, and feast. That's pretty radical. My phone has taught me to be on all the time. You never know who's going to call, right? I'm a very important person. I need to respond to this text. And actually, that's not true. It's not. So in this space, do you have a space in your house where you can truly rest? And if you're like someone I might know, you might think, well, there's an argument to be made for like resting while you're on your phone. When I'm tired, that's where I like to go. But I'm going to ask you, like, how well rested do you feel at the end of that? Because if you feel more tired after you've rested a little while by, you know, killing time on Facebook, then I'm going to suggest that maybe what you were doing wasn't actually rest. Who watched Stranger Things with me? And I'm like, yes, yes. Every time a new season comes out, I'm watching that thing in 2 days. Okay, don't bother me, don't call me, because I'm busy. And then after, though, I feel like I'm emerging from a cave and everything is a little bit, like, too bright. I'm like, what just happened? And I am exhausted and hungry. But what I did wasn't rest. I didn't give my brain a chance to just be. Is your main spot a spot where you feel comfortable, like napping? Remember those? Naps are so good. Is it a place where you can like read a book? Is it a place where you're truly resting so that when you're done, you're ready to get back up and like participate in life again? We are designed for that rhythm. So way back in the day, we're talking like Little House on the Prairie days, the things that used to unite us and like bring us together, we had the hearth, right? Right now you can get this hearth on Netflix or YouTube. I'm not kidding, that's where I found this. But consider, when homes used to have to be heated and given light by the hearth, then at the end of the day, after Pa was done like shooting bear and Ma was done like churning butter and Laura and Mary and baby Carrie, I mean, like when they were done doing the things they were doing, they all came in and Pa took his fiddle down from the thing. Remember that? It hung over the, no, that was his gun that over the door. It was somewhere important. And Ma is over here like doing cross stitch. And oh, wasn't that quaint, right? I wonder if that was actually true, but we'll talk about that later. Yeah, so, but that was the hearth. That was the idea that the light and the warmth are going to draw everybody in here. And this is where we will gather and be together and we will talk and we will sing. And when we didn't have hearths anymore in our houses, when we got furnaces, which are awesome, by the way, I'm not going to tell you to get rid of your furnace. I'm going to ask you to turn it up a couple degrees, maybe. Like 63, right? Could we go for 63? Whenever we got rid of our hearths and we got a furnace, the furnace, that's like ugly, right? You don't put that in your living room. Nobody gathers around it. Like, this is a great machine. They put it in a closet or they put it in the basement because you don't need to look at it. And so that list that you made, like take a look at that list. What are the things on there that operate like a hearth? That draw people together and inspire people to like engage in conversation and hang out and listen and be heard or have fun and play games and or let you truly rest? What are those things? And then what are the things that act more like a furnace where it's easier just to kind of go off and do your own thing? Something that can be done somewhere else and you don't have to pay attention to it. Homework time, okay? This week, with that list or with that list in your mind, like try it just for a week. So find the room where you or your family spend most of your time. And then like ruthlessly go out in that room and like take out everything that doesn't reward skill or add beauty, everything that's not helpful for that, everything that gets in the way. Just for a week, take it out, put it in another room, push it to the sides, and then leave in the things that reward skill and risk and beauty. And that, don't get like caught up on like the beauty thing, like, well, I don't even know how to cross stitch, Ma. I mean, like, for me, it's beautiful to hang out with my friends. So I want to make sure that in my space, nothing will be ringing or distracting us from being able to talk or to hear each other. You can create a card table and play whatever game of cards you want on that table. Like that kind of skill and risk and beauty. It is risky to be in relationships. That's risk. Now, as we're doing this, remember why we're doing this. We're choosing character and we're choosing to use our time wisely. And as I imagine us as a church getting better at this with each little practice, each little like time that we practice putting our phones down, then I imagine us being able to grow as listeners. I imagine us like feeling like this is a safe spot that we have created in this place where people can come and they can hang out and be heard. And maybe, you know, you can put down screens and you're participating in games and stuff with your kids. And we become known for being really good at just, instead of like sending a text, thoughts and prayers, like at actually like showing up at someone's house with like a meal or just, hey, what you doing? Let's hang out. That's pretty radical now. But it's my prayer now that that would be what we as a church and as people, like outside these walls, in our living rooms, in our small groups, that we would be good at this. So I'm going to invite Jeremy up here in a second. And as prayer today, we have something a little new we're going to try out.
Yeah. So as Marian behind me begins to underscore a song that we're going to sing in a couple minutes, the song we're going to sing is called Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And one way you could imagine that song today as a prayer is just like the chains that hold us down with our technology, that they might be broken. Paul, go ahead and put that slide up for me. On the screen here is a number that you can text and answer to that, respond to that on the screen. It says, to be a TextWise family, I will. And then you just text your response to that number right there. It's going to come to an app that's on mine and Aaron's respective phones. Those numbers will be anonymous to us. We don't know who's texting in. But we're going to read your responses as an act of prayer, okay? And so what you'll do is you'll just simply text your response to that question. And some are already coming in, okay?
Right. I just got one. I will will resist the urge to use my phone for business emails after 7 p.m.
Thank you, God. Someone's going to make that move this way. No phones during date night. Someone just texted that in. So whoever that is, I pray that you would have the courage to actually do that. Here's one that says, call family instead of texting them. That's similar to what you were just saying about taking an actual meal.
Yeah. Here's one. No screens during bedtime routine with kids.
Ooh. That's going to be tough. Here's one that says, I will tack off 1 hour before, except for the Bible app. So there's a little contingency there. Let's hope that person can stick with that.
Here's one. We will eat at a table or breakfast bar, not on the couch and with the TV off.
Hmm. Someone wrote in here that just came in. It says, I will put a table up with puzzles in our living space. That's a really good idea. I might do that too. So keep sending them in, and we'll roll your responses in as a prayer.
Here's one. I will try to spend more time with those that I love without technology.
Here's one that says, I will not have my phone on when dining out with my wife.
More reading, less watching.
Yes. Here's one that just came in, and they're flooding in, Aaron. I will put my phone away while playing with my kids. That's convicting to me for sure.
I will read the book TechWise Family and make changes to the house. I will reduce TV time and increase reading time.
So God, whoever wrote that prayer, would you just bless them in their attempts to do that?
Yeah.
Here's one that just came in. It said, I will put my phone away during dinner.
With the people in the room instead of just with them.
Yes, God, help us to understand that more fully, that it's all about the relationships around us. Keep a couple coming in, guys. Here's some, Aaron.
More homework time and less phone time.
Okay. Here's another one. I will give my time to others rather than myself. Whoever wrote that, come talk to me about raking leaves this afternoon. Just kidding.
Here's one. No phones or screens during any meal.
That's a good point. Here's another one. I will spend every day enjoying what God created, not what man created.
I will put a time lock on my TV.
Ooh, that's a good one. Friends, let's just imagine that those, well, they are prayers. And let us continue in prayer. Loving God, we recognize that sometimes, while good, technology can fall out of a good place. And God, sometimes we find ourselves chained down by it. Help us to understand, God, that life is all about relationships. A friendship with you, God, and then friendship with those around us. Friends, we're going to continue as we sing a song called Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. I'm going to invite you to remain seated, but feel free to sing along as you know it.
My fear.